Welcome. This is episode 242 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. In today's podcast, we're going to be addressing a topic titled A Healthy Marriage. A Healthy Marriage. If we don't finish this today, then we'll pick up wherever we stop in the next podcast. And my anchor scripture, by the grace of God, is going to be taken from the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Verses 18 to 24. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 24. I'll read from the New Living Translation. It says, "This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother, Mary, was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. 'Joseph, son of David,' the angel said, 'do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet." I imagine this is probably the prophet Isaiah. "Look, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife." He did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. May the Lord bless the reading of his word in our hearts, in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, I know some people listening to this text may say, "Divine, you're titling this A Healthy Marriage, but the people in this reading had not gotten married yet." And you'll be right. They were engaged to be married, but the marriage had not happened. But the thing is, the lessons from Mary and Joseph teach some things that are very fundamental to the success of pretty much any marriage. So we're going to examine these principles and we're going to see how they can be helpful to a marriage. What are these principles and how do they help a marriage? So if you look at verse 18, it says, you know, this is how Jesus was, the Messiah, was born. His mother Mary was engaged in marriage to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. So what is the lesson here? Well, think about this. Joseph was a selfless man. Any good marriage has a pretty strong modicum of selflessness. Well, where's the selflessness here? So the thing is, you're engaged to be married to somebody. And then you find out that this person is pregnant. Even in the world we live in today, ask yourself, how are you going to respond to that? How are you going to respond to that? Are you just going to call off the engagement quietly? Probably not. I suspect that a lot of people will call off the engagement, but that calling off of the engagement is not going to be quiet by any stretch. That's one. Two, those people, since they feel hurt, they will go to any length to destroy the reputation and good graces of that person in the minds of others. They will gossip on it. They will say, "Oh, you know, I was supposed to marry her, but she got pregnant, blah, 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 blah." They will try to destroy that person's reputation. They will try to destroy that person's name. They will try to do things to get back at that person. And they'll do everything. Yes, you know, even if they may keep it under wraps, that, oh, they were even ever engaged, but they will do something to get back at that person. But notice that was not the disposition of Joseph. The Bible says that Joseph was a righteous man. One characteristic you find in a person that is righteous is that they are selfless. They don't think of themselves. Because think about it, if you truly want to honor God, can you be a person that honors God and is selfish? No. Selfishness and honoring God do not go hand in hand. Because if you are honoring God, you're submitting to the will of another person. You're literally submitting to the will of another person. So, if you're a person that thought only of yourself and your affairs, you will not willingly submit to the will of another person. And also in marriage, you're living with someone, you're married to someone. The thing is, marriage is an equation of 1 + 1 = 1, as the Bible says, right? The two shall be made one flesh. So you get married to a person and you want the marriage to be for your own desires. Everything goes exactly the way you want it, the gospel according to you. Then that marriage is going to have a very, very tough time. You need to be selfless. Marriage is one of the biggest forms of giving that exists, right? You're taking what you have and you're giving it to this person willingly. You're giving it to this person selflessly. You're not just thinking of your own interests. And here's the thing. As you have kids, you're not just thinking of your own interests. You're also not, you're thinking of the interests of your spouse, but you're also thinking of the interests of your children. A person that is selfless is going to have a pretty solid marriage. So I'll encourage you today. Are you in marriage? Are you thinking of marriage? Are you in some kind of relationship? And here's the thing, like, are you in some kind of relationship, right? Even in our relationship with God, are you a person that is selfless? Selflessness is necessary for a good, solid relationship with God. Many people are pretty selfish. They think only of themselves. They think only of their dreams. That's one thing that is almost like a big disconnect I've identified a lot in quite a number of marriages, or I've seen as what may have torpedoed some marriages or some relationships. But one person in that relationship is thinking only of themselves, literally thinking only of themselves. They're thinking of their goals. They're thinking of their dreams. They're thinking of the aspirations. Those things are number one, front and center in their mind, over their responsibilities in marriage. It shouldn't be so. That's the truth. It really should not be so. Your marriage is important. Your marriage is important. It's a priority. Like, honestly, for a person that is married, after your relationship with God, your marriage is the next most important thing. At least that's the way I've always seen it. It's more important than your career. It's more important than your ministry in church. Like, literally, I have seen people that exalt their ministry in church over their marriage. They'd rather be there all the time for the affairs of the church, for the affairs of the church, for the affairs of the church. But their marriage is literally in shambles. That is not the way it's supposed to be. If you look at the Bible, when it talks about some of the requirements for a man of God, it says that the person must also be a good manager of his own home. Because he says, how can you manage the house of God when your own home is gone awry? Yes, I'm paraphrasing, but that's the basic message of that scripture. So you just really need to be careful and be selfless, not selfish. If you're selfish, you're going to be quarreling significantly with your spouse. You're going to be fighting with your spouse. The marriage is not going to be healthy. It's going to be an unhealthy marriage. It's going to be an unhealthy relationship, right? If you're not selfless. If you're not selfless, right? So just be careful. Like, when you're taking decisions as a man or as a woman in a home, ask yourself, how does this thing affect my spouse? How does this thing affect my children? Because again, let me tell you this, the world we live in today, the culture we live in today, exalts selfishness, exalts self-centeredness. Me, myself, and I. That's all that matters. Like, honestly, one of the big challenges I have with some of these movements that say, oh, they're empowering the female sex or whatever, is that a lot of times, if you really dig deep into the roots, it looks like it's empowering women, but it's actually just a way to sanction huge amounts of selfishness. I'm telling you this, if you're a Christian woman, some of these ideas of the world, they are not beneficial for your relationship. They are not beneficial for your marriage. At least if you want your marriage to last, is what I'm trying to say. If you want your marriage to be healthy, is what I'm trying to say, right? I'm not saying that you should make yourself subject to abuse. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But some of these movements, some of these feminist ideals, to be perfectly honest with you, they promote huge amounts of selfishness. They promote that, oh, I'm going to get what I want as a woman. And it doesn't matter what happens to the man. Doesn't matter what happens to my kids. That is not a good orientation on life. It is not. Because think about it. Think about it. If you're in a relationship with someone and that person is always giving up for you, giving up for you, giving up for you, is only your dreams, your goals, your aspirations that are being pursued. Is your dreams, goals, and aspirations that dictate the direction of the marriage. How do you think that other person is going to feel? And honestly, this does not just apply only to women. It also applies to men. There are men that are incredibly selfish. They only think about what they want, right? The thing is, when you get married, there are some things you will have to give up. But you're giving it up for something that is much better. I'm telling you, many people do not realize the blessedness of a healthy marriage. Many people do not recognize the blessedness of giving of yourself so that others, things will be well with them, right? So I'm encouraging you to be selfless. I'm telling you, like, this world that we live in today exalts selfishness. If you look at the decisions that many people take, they take those decisions solely with what they want in mind. They don't think about the good of other people at all. The good of other people, how other people will be affected by this decision. Like, honestly, I bet if people thought about how a decision of divorce will affect their spouse, how it will affect their kids, very, very few people will be going for divorce, to be honest with you. Again, don't get me wrong. I cannot comment on every single situation that exists out there. But selfishness is a very powerful force. You know, people will try to rationalize one reason or the other. But if you really dig deep at the roots, selfishness is a cause, right? A man that cheats on his wife is being selfish. He's being selfish. Why do I say it's being selfish? You're being selfish because you're thinking only of yourself. You're not thinking of, man, how this thing hurts your marriage, how this thing hurts your children, how this thing may lead to divorce, how this thing may lead to the dissolution of your marriage, right? So I'm just encouraging you today, in marriage, try to make selfless choices. I'm not saying you shouldn't make these choices that are good for you. I'm not saying that. But the thing is, make sure that you're also making selfless choices, right? A person that is selfless in marriage will be like, wait, okay, you see your spouse has just come back from a hard day at work. Why don't you just help out? Oh, you see some people are like, oh, you must do this for me, you must do this for me. We talked about it in the morning. But you size up the situation, you see your spouse is tired. You see your spouse has probably had a rough day at work. Why don't you like, oh, I know we said that you should do this in the morning, but don't worry, I'll pick up the slack. I'll help you put the kids down. I'll help you do dinner for the kids. I'll help you do this. I'll help you do that. That's selflessness, right? But many people don't realize that. And it's very unfortunate that the current generation of parents we have, they're not teaching their kids to be selfless. They're teaching their kids to be selfish because they, the parents themselves as well, are selfish. They are selfish. Right? You see, some people, money is more important than their family, is more important than their marriage, is more important than raising their children, right? Yes, they may get a smaller amount of money if they didn't work as much, but they are able to sit down with their children, spend quality time with them, spend quality time with their spouses, right? But they're like, oh, just to service payments for cars that they don't need, for a massive mansion that they do not need. For those things that, oh, this house will give me happiness. This car will give me happiness. But their home is in turmoil because their children, their spouse never sees them. This is something that you see a lot in medicine. And I'm glad that a lot of people in healthcare listen to this podcast. But this is something you see a lot in medicine, that you see people, their career, they are married to their careers, right? They're like, oh, I want to be fulfilled in my career. But they do that at the expense of their homes. Again, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, like, you know, sometimes like residency, for example, is challenging, right? But like as an attendant, ask yourself, okay, how can I structure my career so that my marriage, so that my children don't get sacrificed as a result of it? But you see many people, they will willingly sacrifice their marriages for money. They willingly sacrifice their marriages for career fulfillment. Let me tell you this. You cannot have true fulfillment in life if you're a married person and your marriage is on fire. No, you don't want that. You absolutely don't want that. This is an unpopular message. This is certainly not a populist message, but this is the truth. It is the truth because the Bible says so, right? The Bible says that better is little with the fear of the Lord than a great feast with strife. Again, I'm paraphrasing, but I'm pretty sure this is in the book of Proverbs, right? You see some people, they have great feasts in their home. What does that great feast represent? They have a mansion. They have multiple cars. They have the ability to buy their kids so many toys and this and that and this and that and this and that and this and that. So you can see money flowing like no man's business in the home. But there's no love in that home. There's no relationship in that home. The children, they maybe see their parents like once or twice a week, right? So, and you see sometimes parents, to subsidize their selfishness, they didn't get their kids screens. They're like, oh, you know, gifts will take the place of showing love to my children and actually spending quality time with them. So you see many of these parents, they'll give their kids like some tablet and they'll buy them whatever games they want on the tablet. And then the kids get addicted. Guess what? What do you think you're doing to those kids? You're teaching them about the value of what? Of selfishness. Because after a while, they will then see that, oh, I get a lot of solace. I get a lot of happiness and joy from this tablet or whatever. So over time, they'll become closed off. They stop talking with their parents and they'd rather spend more time with their iPad or whatever than they will with their parents or with their siblings. Like, I always comment on this with my wife, but man, like sometimes it's pretty shocking these days. You rarely see kids playing outside. I feel like this was not an issue in the world years ago. No, it was not an issue at all. It was not. People will play outside. Kids will play outside. They will play in the dirt. You know, they will play with each other. They will ride their bicycles and everything. But these days, most neighborhoods, the streets are like dead quiet. Why? And there are kids in those homes, but what are they doing? They're inside the home, they're watching some screen, they're playing some video game, right? And then when that addiction to screens is built up, how do you think those people's marriage is going to go? Because that addiction is there. So when they get married, there's another marriage. When they get married to like a real life human being, there's another marriage they're already involved in, and that's marriage to their screens. So those people, they will spend a lot of time on their screens, but they are not fulfilling the emotional needs of their spouse. They are not fulfilling the emotional needs of their children, right? It should not be like that. It honestly should not be like that. You shouldn't put your passions and desires over your marriage. Like, I kid you not, there are some people that put their love for sports over their marriage, right? You see every day of the week, they're watching one game or the other, right? But you'd never see them say, okay, you know what, out of these 7 days, let me take like 2 or 3 days. I know I really love this game, but let me kind of shut it down for these 3 days and just stay with my family, be with my wife, be with my kids. In fact, some people look at the time spent with their spouses and the time spent with their kids as boring time. But I'm telling you, one thing you don't realize is you don't realize the importance, the value, and the worth of something until you have completely lost it, right? Until you've lost it, until those children have grown and they resent you and they say that, man, my parents were never around, right? My parents were never around. And it ends up just hurting you, right? I promise you, like, when those things happen down the line, it will really hurt. You will wish to take back all those years, but you won't have any opportunity to do so because those times are gone. Those kids have grown. they have gotten into their own marriages, right? And the thing is, the foundation you lay of self, if you lay a foundation of selflessness in marriage, your kids are more likely to be selfless when they get married as well. That's the truth. That's the truth. So please, I'm encouraging you parents that are listening to this, or people that are going to be future parents, be selfless. Be selfless. Be selfless. And as we wrap up, if you look at what John chapter 3 verse 16 says, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." And he not just say that, he also says, "Greater love has no man than this, than to lay down his life for his friends." And he doesn't just say that, it also says that, you know, in that while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. What are all these things showing you? It's showing you that the God we serve is a selfless God. Like literally, he sent his son Jesus Christ to die for us while we were in sin. He did not even have that guarantee that, oh, we were not believing in sin. No, that, okay, these people are changing their hearts towards me before he died for us. No, the Bible says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ did what? He died for us. He literally died for us while we were sinners. While we're sinners, that's selflessness. He was not thinking of himself alone. He was not thinking of his reputation. You want to tell me that going to the cross was easy for Jesus? No, it was not. It was not. In fact, there was a time that Jesus Christ prayed that, "Father, if you will, please take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." That's a person that's selfless. Was it fun going to the cross? No. Was it fun being crucified? No. Was it fun shedding his blood? No. But what was he doing in those moments? He was demonstrating selflessness. He was demonstrating selflessness. He was being a servant. He died to save the souls of many. So I want to encourage you today, if you've not surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, why don't you take advantage of this selfless sacrifice that the Lord has given to you? Why don't you take advantage of this act of selflessness, this sacrifice of love, of Jesus Christ dying for you, shedding his blood to cleanse you from all sin on the cross, right? And after you surrender your life to Christ, I will encourage you, live selflessly. Live selflessly. Think about the souls of others in teaching them about Christ. Think about the souls of others. Think about what Christ has done for you in the way you live. Let it affect the way you live your life, in you walking in obedience to his will. So if you want to surrender your life to the Lord Jesus Christ today, I want you to say this prayer after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I am a sinner. I need your help. I need your forgiveness. Thank you for selflessly dying for me on the cross. I confess all my sins. I forsake all my sins. I repent of all my sins. I ask you to come into my life and be my Savior, be my Lord. Write my name in the book of life. Give me a brand new beginning. Cleanse me of all my sin. Sanctify me with your blood. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your sacrifice for me on the cross. Thank you for your selfless sacrifice on the cross. Give me the grace to live a life that is worthy of you, that pleases you. A selfless life, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. And Father, I pray for everyone that has just surrendered their lives to you. Thank you, Lord, for bringing them into your family. Thank you because there is joy in heaven over their repentance. I pray, Lord, that may you please keep them to the very end. And Lord, I pray for every one of us that are listening to this podcast, including myself. Father, please give us the grace to be selfless. Give us the grace to not think of ourselves more highly than others, but to also think of the good of others. To think of the good of our spouses, to think of the good of our children. Not to make selfish marriage-destroying decisions, but to make selfless life-giving decisions for our marriage. And Lord, I pray that you help us to be selfless in our walk with you. And as we do so, Lord, let us continue to please you. And Lord, to be honest with you, being selfless is not something we can do in our own strength. We need your help. So Father, please help us. Have mercy on us. And please help us to the glory, the honor, and the praise of your name. Thank you, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Now, for those that have surrendered their lives to the Lord, congratulations. You're a child of God. If you said that prayer in faith, believing that what you just said, you're a child of God. There are three things I would recommend that you do. Number one, listen to episodes 96 to 101, 96 to 101 on the website. It is titled The Five Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It will tell you specific things you can do so you can grow in your walk with Christ. Number two, find a Bible translation you understand. Find a Bible translation you understand. The New Living Translation is pretty good for many people. New Living, NLT. Read every day. Think about what you've just read and then write down action steps based on your life. And follow those steps. Just make it a daily part of your life and you'll see your life take a turn for the better. And then finally, find a Bible-believing church. Not a church, a Bible-believing church. There are many places that call themselves churches. I'm telling you this. There are many places that call themselves churches and they are not Bible-believing. Or there are many places that call themselves churches. They appear to believe the Bible. They appear to preach the Bible, but they twist the word of God. Again, that is not a place you want to be. That is absolutely not a place you want to be. That place can mess up your salvation. So make sure you go to a place where the true, pure, undiluted word of God is preached. The true, pure, undiluted word of God is preached. And I pray that as you listen to the word will, you receive it with meekness. The message in that word, the power in that word will save your soul and lead you to your divine destiny. So until episode 243, have a wonderful weekend. God bless you. Shalom.